Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Good morning and welcome to Cosmic Influence. My name is Walter Cruttenden. I'm here with co-host Jeff Pitino.
How are you doing?
And we're here to talk about the things that affect the Earth and consciousness over long periods of time. As most of you probably know, we're with the Binary Research Institute, and it's there that we study the mythology, the archaeology, and the astronomy of the Great Year concept. And this was Plato's term for this vast cycle of time in which the Earth goes through periods of enlightenment, a higher age, and darkness, the great dark ages. And of course, we were taught in school that this is just a fairy tale, it's not real, but we happen to think that it is real, and there's a good scientific basis for it. And in fact, there's more and more science being revealed today that makes it more tangible. So it's here at the Binary Research Institute that we've been studying this idea, interviewing guests that have books or works that help to shed light on different parts of the Great Year Cycle. And normally we have a guest with each show, but today we thought we'd tell you a little bit about us and our work and go over some of the latest news events that have to do with our work, and so that will be the topic of today. And a couple things we'll try to touch on today include...
Yeah, definitely. Well, one thing I think I'd like to touch on first is the new BRI website, because it's something that I think is a long time in coming, and we're finally bringing all of our research together into one place. Right up until this point, we've had separate websites for Lost Star of Myth and Time and the Great Year and the CPAC conferences and the BRI's research. And finally, we've brought them all together to one place where people can get information on everything we do at BRI.
And I know Jeff's worked very, very hard on putting this website together. What was supposed to be a one-month project stretched into a several months project, but we invite you to come take a look at it. It's www.binaryresearchinstitute.org.
That is correct. And on the website, you'll find all of our latest research, research papers that you can download. You'll find previews of the Great Year. You'll also find information about Lost Star of Myth and Time, like I mentioned. We also have a segment for this radio show now on the website where you can actually go and find out more about upcoming shows that we have coming up here on HealthyLife.net, and also listen to all of our archive shows all in one place right there, as well as an events calendar which lists all of the events that Walter and I and BRI will be doing in the upcoming months, and that gets updated quite frequently.
Right. And we're excited about a lot of things we have upcoming here. We're in the early planning processes for the next CPAC, the Conference on Precession and Ancient Knowledge. And each year we try to mix it up a little bit. So we have a number of new guests that we'll be bringing on, giving presentations, and we'll be introducing those, talking a little bit about them here in the next segment of the show. In addition to talking about the guests we have upcoming and some of the news events, what else are we going to touch on here, Jeff?
Well, I think mainly there are a number of things that have happened recently, especially in the past week, as far as new astronomical theories coming out, a few new archaeological discoveries that we'll be touching on as well, all in terms of its relationship to our research and the great year. And
right. I'll also try to mention a little bit about my recent trip to Stanford to interview the scientists involved in the Gravity Pro B program. And so that will be coming up right after the break. And we are due to take a break here very soon. So you are listening to Cosmic Influence with Walter Cretton and Jeff Patino, and we will be right back.
Water. In the hot summer sun, water is a natural thought, like relaxing at the beach with the waves lapping at your feet, or perhaps being with your significant other under a secluded, gently cascading waterfall. If you want a little more action, how about water skiing or boating on an icy, clear blue lake? With Expedia.com, everything you need for travel, flights, hotels, cruises, vacation packages, they have it all at a price you can afford. Go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Expedia.com.
The weather looks like it could get nasty. Let's put out the tent.
I didn't bring it, did you?
No tent here.
Flashlight?
Emergencies are no joke. Don't get caught unprepared.
Munchies?
Get an emergency kit. Make a plan. Communicate and stay informed.
Hi, I'm Janae Bonner. My husband, Congressman Joe Bonner, and I urge you and your family to be ready for any emergency. Find out how at ready.gov.
This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Mystic Pop didn't mean to burst your bubble, but the new age is over.
Come into the now age and find the latest and greatest in spirituality, mind, body, and soul with Mystic Pop magazine.
Every full-color issue is bursting with enlightened interviews, features, and current reviews of your favorite now age authors, musicians, artists, and more. Step out of the old world new age and into the now with Mystic Pop magazine. Ask for it at your local bookstores like Barnes & Noble, Borders, Books A Million, and many independent stores.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Cosmic Influence with Walter Cretton and Jeff Patino. And we are talking today about some of the science and astronomy articles that have come out that have something to do with this idea of a great cycle of time. I just wanted to mention before we got into it a little bit here, I recently saw a DVD that really moved me and talks a lot about this period of old Europe in Neolithic times. This is roughly 5,000 to 6,000 years ago, stretching back another 5,000 years before that period of time. And there's a wonderful scientist. She was a professor of history at UCLA. Her name is Maria, that's M-A-R-I-J-A, Gimbutas. And she's an archaeologist by background, grew up in Eastern Europe, and was familiar with a lot of the myth and folklore in that area. And because of that, she developed a great understanding of the sort of the goddess culture. And many of the finds that she made throughout Eastern Europe include these civilizations where she seems to be finding all these fertility symbols in the soil. And they've actually found over 500 different artifacts. Anyway, she has a DVD out. It's called Signs Out of Time, and it's very moving, really gives you a good feeling for the size and scope of this old Neolithic civilization that predates Greece, predates Tuscans, even predates some of the early Mediterranean cultures. And if you get a chance, try to check that out, Signs Out of Time. Very moving.
Yeah, and speaking of the Etruscan civilization, there's a really interesting article came out just this past week about a discovery as far as where that civilization really originated. The Etruscans were in central Italy and were a very advanced civilization, all the way up until they got usurped by Roman culture around, I believe around 800 BC, 5 to 800 BC is when they got absorbed by the culture of Rome. But they were an advanced civilization in and of themselves, and it's always been a bit of a mystery as to exactly where they originated. I believe Herodotus wrote that he believed they came from the area that now Turkey is now in, but that's really the one of the only references, and there's never been really any hard evidence. Some scientists in Italy, though, however, have done mitochondrial DNA studies of cattle in the area and found that the cattle that it's from that region actually have more in common with Middle Eastern cattle than they do with European cattle, which suggests that the Etruscans did in fact come from the Middle East originally.
And probably overseas. I guess they were known to be great navigators, much like the Phoenicians of their day. Speaking of that dating, you know, we grew up with these stories of when Rome was founded, and we hear it was two twins.
Remus and Romulus.
Remus and Romulus, that's right. I knew one of them had to do with Star Trek there. And they were suckled by a wolf. And I was recently talking with one of the members over at CPAC, and we think that perhaps the truth in that sort of mythological story might have to do with the twins being Gemini and the wolf being the dog star Sirius, which is often portrayed as a dog or a wolf. And if indeed it is moving through these constellations, as some say, perhaps this civilization was born on the time that star was in Gemini moving through there.
Which would once again show just how intertwined mythology and science and astronomical knowledge really were back in those times.
Very much so. So one of the other news articles that hit has to do with
the prehistoric Romeo and Juliet.
And yeah, this is another Neolithic find. It's thought to be 5,000 to 6,000 years ago. It just came out on the last couple of days. I think February 7th is the first day we saw it. And you probably heard about it, read about it. It's these skeletons that are in this beautiful embrace. And so it got a lot of press here right around Valentine's Day. And again, I think our common notions of the Neolithic period is these are axe-wielding, stone-throwing, grunting cavemen, and yet we keep finding these graves that are situated either in relation to the cardinal points, as we pointed out in our book Lost Star of Myth and Time, where roughly 10,000 years ago they're putting people in the ground with their head facing due north or due east, and we even pointed out one that where a man had his cat buried near him, and it's aligned up in the same direction. Anyway, these skeletons are in a beautiful embrace, and the article says archaeologists have unearthed two skeletons from the Neolithic period locked in a tender embrace and buried outside Mantua, just 25 miles south of Verona, the Romantic city where Shakespeare set the star-crossed tale of Romeo and Juliet. Buried between 5,000 to 6,000 years ago, the prehistoric lovers are believed to have been a man and a woman and are thought to have died young as their teeth were found intact, said Alina Menotti, the archaeologist who led the dig. This is another thing we need to think about a little bit in terms of this great cycle. If we are in a great cycle, and in the higher ages people live longer, as all this mythology says, you know, from the Vedic text to the early Greek texts to even the Bible, where they talk about Methuselah and Seth, you know, living close to 1,000 years in the very highest age. it could be that we cannot actually judge the dating, because right now, you know, teeth tend to go bad 40s, 50s, 60s, something like that, depending on how well you take care of them along the way. And so we tend to date skeletons that way. But if people are indeed living very close to nature and living for very long periods of time, it could well be that their teeth last a lot longer too. Anyway, the article goes on to say the burial site was located Monday during construction. This is dated February 7th. During construction work for a factory building in the outskirts of Mantua. Alongside the couple, archaeologists found flint tools, including arrowheads and a knife. The note, he said, experts now will study the artifacts and the skeletons to determine the burial site's age and how old the two were when they died, she said. Another thing about these flint tools we keep finding and associating with this era is I think the early assumption was these must always be used for hunting or utilitarian purposes, and yet we increasingly find them in situations that are very ceremonial. And they've also been related to agriculture, where they find them in fields, and the fields seem to be very fertile. And so I think we're probably best to suspend some of our judgments about what these items were used for until we do a little bit more science in that area.
Yeah, I mean, it's very possible that the placement of some of those objects is akin to some of the research that John Burke has done as far as seed fertilization and the building of megalithic structures specifically for the purpose of enhancing crop yield.
Yes, we've talked to John Burke on this show before, and you know, he pointed out very clearly that pyramids, for example, in Central America that date to Mayan or pre-Mayan civilizations, we're taught that they're used just for ceremonial purposes, you know, for killing somebody up at the top and their heads roll down, as we see in the movie Apocalypse. But there are a lot of myth and folklore that say the natives would take seeds there to be blessed. And we interviewed John, and he said, indeed, these sites are often built over geophysical anomalies, and they give off a charge that is beneficial to seeds. And he proved so by laboratory tests where the seeds that were taken to the site would actually propagate faster than the seeds left in the test lot, the sample lot back at his lab or in his car.
In fact, he actually, his company, ProSeed Technologies, that is their whole line of business, is exposing seeds to electromagnetic radiation at certain levels to increase crop yields. It's a very well-known thing that they do.
Right. So we're learning more and more about a lot of these ancient cultures, and as we do so and as we grow, I think we're discovering that their purposes were not so primitive as we originally thought. There was recently a show just in the last week or so. I didn't catch it, but I got a few emails on it that dates the Mayan culture much earlier than previously thought. The Maya people, we have often thought, peaked in the 500 to 800 AD period. At least that's what has been taught in the last few decades. And now new evidence suggests that some of the structures that predate that time period by 1,000 to 1,500 years, going back to Olmec period, actually appear to be more sophisticated in some ways based on the size of the stones they were using, the precision in which they were put into place. And so I wouldn't doubt if our whole understanding of the Mayan culture is again pushed back farther than we originally thought.
That's interesting, because that would then show a bit of a correlation in terms of, I think, Graham Hancock in Fingerprints of the Gods mentioned that the Egyptians actually kind of got worse at building pyramids as their civilization progressed. So the Mayans then may have gotten worse at building their structures as their civilization, quote-unquote, progressed, but really declined down into the depths of the Kali Yuga.
Exactly. Yeah, John West points out the same thing, that the very early Egyptian structures are just beautiful, precision, megalithic structures, and then he says they get gaudy with hieroglyphs later on, and the workmanship is nowhere near it was in earlier periods. So we've got a few more things to talk about.
Yeah, several. We can get back into a little bit talking about magnetic fields on a larger scale than just crop yields when we come back, in terms of the Earth's magnetic field and some experiments that are going to be going on trying to measure exactly what happens with that, because it turns out it's much more active, I think, than a lot of people realize.
Yes, so we'll be turning a little bit more to the astronomy side, the science side, the physics side, when we get back from our next break. Once again, you are listening to Cosmic Influence. I'm Walter Crittenden with Jeff Pitino here, and we will be right back.
If you are interested in the topics discussed on today's show, you'll want to see Walter Crittenden's award-winning film, The Great Year, narrated by James Earl Jones. Why do civilizations fall and rise again? What did the ancients say about the cycle of the ages? The Great Year explores the possibility that the rise and fall of human culture might be related to our sun's motion around a companion star. Find out more about the celestial mechanics that bring higher ages of enlightenment and learn where we are today in this grand cycle of time. It's a message of hope and inspiration and answers many questions about the greatest enigmas of human history. Order the DVD today at thegreatyear.com. That's www.thegreatyear.com. www.thegreatyear.com.
Lost Star of Myth and Time by Walter Crittenden is the hot new bestseller, stirring controversy with a new view of ancient history. Graham Hancock calls the evidence in this epic book the key to the mystery of the ages. Where is present-day civilization headed? What did the ancients know about the cosmos? Do stellar influences affect consciousness and the rise and fall of civilization? Lost Star of Myth and Time answers these questions and more. Lost Star of Myth and Time at a bookstore near you.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. earthchannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to earthchannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Welcome back to Cosmic Influence. I'm Walter Crittenden.
And I'm Jeff Pitino. And just before the break, I had mentioned some new satellites that we're going to be launched to study the Earth's magnetic field. And it's really, I think it's fascinating because we really don't think much about the Earth's magnetic field other than saying, oh, cool, look, the northern lights, and it puts on a nice light show. But people, I think, in general, don't realize how active the magnetic field really is and how much it really does interact with the solar wind and solar flares and coronal mass ejections, all of these things that really hugely affect us, especially in the electronic age, knocking out satellites, freaking out radio communications,
Well, maybe you could read an excerpt there, because I know that it also affects some of the oil field equipment.
Yeah, and that's an excellent idea. So let me read this article. This is from the Christian Science Monitor, and this came out actually just yesterday, I believe. So from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida to the Poker Flat Research Range in Fairbanks, Alaska, scientists this week are working to unravel the mystery behind bursts of energetic particles that can turn a so-so display of northern lights into a breathtaking show. These particles from the sun come from the sun and build up within the Earth's magnetic field. Then something snaps and they hurtle towards the Earth's poles. The mystery is what triggers this sudden release. As the particles, or electrons, speed towards their shimmering finale, they can wreak havoc on satellites, disrupt radio communications, and trigger blackouts. At high latitudes, these substorms, as they're called, can speed corrosion in oil pipelines and befuddle sensors that monitor a pipeline's oil flow and corrosion rates. And to me, that's actually really interesting, because I never realized that they had such a grounded physical effect as far as influencing corrosion on oil pipelines.
Yeah, let me just interject too that one of the premises in the whole Great Year Cycle is that somehow as the Earth moves in this huge orbit along with the Sun around another star, that there are phases in there that have a beneficial influence or a negative influence. And while some scientists are always say, well, that sounds too much like astrology, and sort of look with disdain at that idea, we're always finding more and more evidence that indeed we are being affected from space. So it may not be some planetary influence that's affecting our particular sign of the day, but we're dramatically affected by changes in the Earth's magnetosphere, ionosphere, and these coronal mass ejections on some subtle level.
Exactly. So the article goes on to talk about the two kind of leading theories about these, how these substorms originate. One of the interesting things is they originate on the night side of the Earth. Normally, the solar wind, obviously coming from the sun, kind of billows against the magnetic field on the sun side of the Earth, and on the night side, it kind of collapses back around, forming a teardrop shape
right
around the planet.
So it's compressed on the sun side, and it's elongated on the dark side.
Exactly. And so the substorms originate on the night side, but details about how and where, what the trigger is, have really been elusive, according to the article. One idea holds that electrons flowing in a current along the field hit turbulence and begin to gather in a region of space roughly 50,000 miles above the equator. At some point, the buildup becomes too large, and the electrons rocket towards the ionosphere above the poles in a kind of short circuit. The second idea holds that the trigger takes place 100,000 miles above the Earth. The solar wind stretches the magnetosphere's tail to the point where it breaks in two, and the ends of the portion of the tail anchored to the Earth reconnect and rebound, releasing energy that hurdles trapped electrons towards the planet. To settle this trigger question, THEMIS, which is the project's name, has five satellites that will each take up progressively more elliptical orbits that span the distance these two ideas embrace. Combined with 20 cameras in Canada and other sensing devices on the surface, THEMIS, named for the Greek goddess of justice, is expected to adjudicate the trigger dispute. So these five satellites are going to measure exactly where electrons are building up.
And when are they going up, by the way?
They're going up, I think, on Monday.
Okay. So we're sort of excited about this research because it may well show things that that we're not expecting. But anyway, there's some hard analysis being done finally on some of these subtle effects that the aurora borealis, or really the solar winds and the subtle energies from space, are having on the planet here.
One of the interesting things that the article doesn't mention, I think, is something that we talked about in before on the show and that is mentioned in Lost Star as well, which is the influence of other stars on the Earth's magnetosphere, especially on the night side of the planet.
Right. I think we did mention this, but up until 1997, it was thought that no star could affect the Earth. We know the Sun can affect the Earth through these coronal mass ejections and similar phenomena, but certainly no star because a star is too far away. And then, of course, in 97, astrophysicists discovered that, gee, we're being pelted all the time by bursts from other stars, and they've identified six or seven stars in particular that are very energetic, that actually send enough energy to fry our ionosphere and ripple our magnetosphere. So it has the same effect as a big ejection from our sun, but it's coming from another star. So that could well be another thing that interplays in here, and maybe the final theory will include some of that activity also.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we've got to take another break. But when we come back, we can move on, and I think we can segue into a little bit on another satellite project that's going on, which is Gravity Probe B, which, Walter, I know you've got some experience with.
Right, yeah, I've really spent a lot of time talking to the people involved with Gravity Probe B up at Stanford. It's a joint Stanford-NASA project, as well as I've been on the physics board quite a bit. It's physicsforum.org, and there's regular updates there on Gravity Probe B, and we're having a fun time making predictions and that sort of thing. So we'll touch on that when we get back. You are listening to Cosmic Influence with Walter Crutton and Jeff Pitino. We'll be right back.
Lost Star of Myth and Time by Walter Crutton is the hot new bestseller, stirring controversy with a new view of ancient history. Graham Hancock calls the evidence in this epic book the key to the mystery of the ages. Where is present-day civilization headed? What did the ancients know about the cosmos? Do stellar influences affect consciousness and the rise and fall of civilization? Lost Star of Myth and Time answers these questions and more. Lost Star of Myth and Time at a bookstore near you.
What does HealthyLife.net and Amazon.com have in common? Well, they're both available on the internet. They both give great value. But most important, most of our positive program hosts and guests are accomplished authors. And their books are available from, you got it, Amazon.com. Now it even gets better than that. Because when you're listening on air to a HealthyLife.net host or guest, you can go directly to Amazon.com and you can order your book while you're still listening to your favorite HealthyLife.net program. So when you hear an author you like, go to the homepage of HealthyLife.net and click on Amazon.com.
If you are interested in the topics discussed on today's show, you'll want to see Walter Crutton's award-winning film, The Great Year, narrated by James Earl Jones. Why do civilizations fall and rise again? What did the ancients say about the cycle of the ages? The Great Year explores the possibility that the rise and fall of human culture might be related to our sun's motion around a companion star. Find out more about the celestial mechanics that bring higher ages of enlightenment and learn where we are today in this grand cycle of time. It's a message of hope and inspiration and answers many questions about the greatest enigmas of human history. Order the DVD today at thegreatyear.com. That's www.thegreatyear.com. www.thegreatyear.com.
ByRegion.net is the largest healing arts directory on the web. Our visitors are looking for holistic practitioners, schools, events, healing services, and products. Are you in healing arts? Become a member of ByRegion.net and get the best advertising values. You can increase your client base and your traffic. If you have a website, we can bring you more traffic. Want a website? Get a beautiful web display for only $4 a month. Become a member now. Mention HealthyLife.net and get 6 months free. Visit www.byregion.net or call 828-232-0016.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Hi, and welcome back to the Cosmic Influence. I'm Jeff Pitino with our host, Walter Crutton, and we have been talking about a number of things on the show. Just before the break, we mentioned we'd start talking about another satellite research project that's going on, which is Gravity Probe B.
And Gravity Probe B is the joint venture between NASA and Stanford University to test Einstein's theory of relativity. And the basic idea is that if space-time is really bent by massive objects, then if you could put a spacecraft floating freely above the Earth with really high-precision gyros and tie those to a telescope pointed at a guide star, you could determine whether or not that space-time is being bent by the Earth itself. And there's specific predictions for this, and I think it's about 6 arc seconds in one direction, the geodetic effect, and then about a half an arc second in the other direction, or in a different direction. And in reading about this, I've been reading the press releases, and I noticed that in the testing phase, they were showing a few little anomalies that said that they were trying to, that mimicked the effect that they were looking for, and that these were problems. And this really got me going, because our basic theory here, if the solar system is moving through space and all these myths and folklore are tied to this idea of precession, then maybe the ancients are right about precession, that it's caused by our solar system curving through another star rather than just the Earth wobbling. And so this satellite is just perfect. It's in a, to test that, it's in a orbit, a polar orbit, about 401 miles above the surface of the Earth. And obviously it's free from the so-called wobbling Earth. And yet if they are still picking up a movement that looks like precession, it would indicate exactly what we expect, that precession is caused by the whole solar system moving, not just the Earth wobbling. And so on this board, well, first I should say I met with the GPB guys before the holidays, spent about 4 hours together. Jeff Marcy joined me up there. He's the head of astronomy at UC Berkeley. And they cannot tell us their actual results so far, because this is a double-blind study. The Harvard Smithsonian is determining the exact movement of the guide star, and then they put these two sets of data together to determine how much the Earth is actually moving. But they did ask a lot of questions about binary star relationships, and so we got in this nice conversation, you know, could there be a black hole out there or something that we're not aware of, which I thought was kind of interesting and unusual, indicating that maybe they're getting some signals they didn't expect. So that was right before the holidays. And so on the physics board, I mentioned that I would expect the data is going to be showing some signals they don't expect, and that they're not going to be able to make a release in April, as they were hoping to have all these results. And they just came out and announced on February 9th that they're getting some unusual signals and they're not going to be able to release the data on time. It's actually been pushed back to December. So that doesn't mean, you know, they're finding exactly what we're looking for sure, but it does mean that they may be finding some unusual signals that might be helpful to understanding the Earth's movement, the real cause of precession. So that's a good bit of research that's helpful to the great year problem.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, it's a great project overall as well. I think it's interesting how its balloon piece that originally started as just being a very low-budget, ground-based experiment, and it has since kind of grown into an $800 million behemoth, if you will.
Right. $800 million in climbing, in that they're asking for a extension from April to December, and they have a pretty good team working on this. So
that'll definitely cost a bit more.
Yeah. But at least they finished the data gathering with the satellite portion.
So in other new theories in space, a new theory came out that might help explain mysterious dark galaxies surrounding both the Milky Way and Andromeda galaxies.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
What could possibly be out there?
Yeah, this is interesting. When we grew up, it was just our galaxy, and the nearest one, Andromeda, was, I don't know, 60 million light years away or something like that. And then it was found out that we have a couple of dwarf galaxies near us. And then the last I heard is it's something like 14 dwarf galaxies. This is just in the last year or two. And now,
and it turns out that we've not just dwarf galaxies around us, but what they call dwarf spheroidals around us. And what's interesting, just to give you an idea of the size of galaxies, the Milky Way and Andromeda galaxies are both considered very large galaxies, containing between 200 billion and 400 billion stars, which is a lot of stars to have in one's own neighborhood. Dwarf galaxies have a few billion stars, just a handful of billion. And which sounds kind of odd because that's still a lot of stars. But the dwarf spheroidals have maybe a million stars in them.
Right. Let me just read a few parts of this thing. The darkest galaxies in the universe. This is out, by the way, on space.com February 14th. The darkest galaxies in the universe, made nearly entirely of matter, which researchers think can zip right through normal matter with virtually no effect, now might be explained by a new scientific model that sheds light on their strange experience. The normal matter of which the stars, planets, moons, and people consist only makes up roughly a sixth of all matter in the universe. That's because the balance is dark matter, dark energy, and the existence of which is only inferred by the gravitational effects it has on light and normal matter. So this is basically they're saying that there's a number of galaxies out there that are basically invisible. So it's not just matter out there, but entire galaxies that can go right through things. Next thing you know, we're going to hear that there's actually people out there that can go right through things. And then we're getting back to this whole realm of myth and folklore. It sounds like ghosts to me. But anyway, we've got to take a quick little break here. And we'll talk a little bit more about this and some other items when we get back. You are listening to The Cosmic Influence. I'm Walter Cretinen.
I'm Jeff Pitino, and we'll be right back.
If you are interested in the topics discussed on today's show, you'll want to see Walter Cretinen's award-winning film, The Great Year, narrated by James Earl Jones. Why do civilizations fall and rise again? What did the ancients say about the cycle of the ages? The Great Year explores the possibility that the rise and fall of human culture might be related to our sun's motion around a companion star. Find out more about the celestial mechanics that bring higher ages of enlightenment and learn where we are today in this grand cycle of time. It's a message of hope and inspiration and answers many questions about the greatest enigmas of human history. Order the DVD today at thegreatyear.com. That's www.thegreatyear.com. www.thegreatyear.com.
Lost Star of Myth and Time by Walter Cruttenden is the hot new bestseller, stirring controversy with a new view of ancient history. Graham Hancock calls the evidence in this epic book the key to the mystery of the ages. Where is present-day civilization headed? What did the ancients know about the cosmos? Do stellar influences affect consciousness and the rise and fall of civilization? Lost Star of Myth and Time answers these questions and more. Lost Star of Myth and Time at a bookstore near you.
In college, I took a lot of history and liberal arts classes, and frankly, I don't remember much of any of it. But as an adult, I find myself engrossed in fascinating programs on the A&E and History Channel. They've pretty much helped me to be pretty impressive at social functions, and I just found out today that I can purchase DVDs of my favorite A&E and History Channel programs right through HealthyLife.net. You should visit HealthyLife.net and order your favorite A&E and History Channel program DVDs as well, and then discover how many people you can impress during your next social occasion.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. earthchannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to earthchannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
Hi, and welcome back to The Cosmic Influence. I'm Jeff Pitino with our host, Walter Cruttenden. And just before the break, we were in the middle of talking about invisible matter that we can't see that flies right through us and
I was talking
most of the universe.
Right, a little bit about this article out on New Theory Explains Mysterious Dark Galaxies. And in it, they say scientists have proposed that some of the most dark matter interacts with normal matter very weakly, meaning it can pass right through us and the planet with virtually no effect. There are believed to be as many as 10,000 dark matter particles in any given cubic meter of space in the solar system. So I'm going to a conference actually next month on dark matter over at UCI. Virginia Trimble and some of the astronomers over there invited me, so I look forward to it. Because I've always been a little dubious about dark matter. I know that it's required in order to explain the universe. Particularly, you know, galaxies seem to hold together even though we don't see enough matter to do so. If there wasn't enough matter there, the current theory of gravity holds that all the stars on the outside should have flown off by now, and so instead of having stars clustered in galaxies, the universe would be fairly homogeneous. So we need these massive amounts of dark matter to explain how the universe is currently composed.
At the same time, it seems kind of akin to back in the 19th century, early 20th century, when we needed the ether to explain how light traveled through space.
Right. And of course, Einstein taught us that we don't, that space-time is bent. So I wouldn't be surprised if we don't learn some other things. And to me, it's not a very good explanation. You know, here's the title of the article, New Theory Explains Mysterious Dark Galaxies. And the explanation is, oh, it's all invisible. And that's just not a great explanation. But we'll learn more about that. And I'll try to take good notes at this next conference and pass that along
to you.
Yeah,
definitely, because I'd love to hear more about it. It should be an exciting conference as well.
Good. One other conference we're going to be at over there, actually, we're one of the sponsors of it, is this
LSST conference.
Right. And this is fascinating because many of you have heard of Google Earth, where you can look at anything on Earth and zoom right in. Well, this is essentially going to be Google Space. So there's a number of telescopes that'll be taking real-time pictures of space. They're trying to map all of space. And so right now, you know, we just sort of look here and there, now and then. And by looking at space constantly, you'll be able to see which objects are moving relative to other objects. And they expect to find just gobs of new comets, planetoids, and
similar objects. Yeah, and I think they're talking about storing terabytes of data, of images, every night. And basically, it's something that's never been done before, which is taking pictures every night of the same large segments of the sky and then comparing them over time.
Yeah, we haven't had the compute power, but now they do. So that should be up and running in about 6 years or so.
And speaking of yet other conferences,
Our big one, the Conference on Procession and Ancient Knowledge, will be at the end of this year, actually October 5th through 7th, down at the University of California, San Diego. And we've just confirmed a couple of speakers there. So, Jeff?
Yeah, we're really excited to have an author, Marie D. Jones. She's got her master's in metaphysical studies, and she's also studied goddess traditions, mythology, and comparative religions. She's very widely published. She's written a number of articles in a large number of magazines, and she has two books out. One is Looking for God in All the Wrong Places, which came out in 2003. And I think her recent book is just fascinating. It's called Science, and it's spelled P-S-I-E-N-C-E. And the subtitle is How New Discoveries in Quantum Physics and New Science May Explain the Existence of Paranormal Phenomena.
And Marie has a great wit and sense of humor. And so we're hoping that she'll be able to shed light on the science behind the powers in the higher ages. We hear a lot about clairvoyance, telepathy in some of the mythology of long, long ago. And yet we've thought that that's just bunk here in the dark ages, and now we're starting to think it might actually be real again. And so
right, there might actually be hard evidence and hard science behind it.
So we'll get into that. And another speaker we've just confirmed, another new one in addition to some of the old standbys we're going to have that are always great, like Graham Hancock and John West and Robert Schock, etc. Another is Peter Kingsley. He is from England. He is the author of Reality and several other books, and his more recent book, In the Dark Places of Wisdom, is one that I just fell in love with. Peter is a scholar. He's a PhD from the University of London. He is probably knows more about ancient Greece than just about anybody else on the face of the earth right now, and he's made a rather amazing discovery, and that is that the farther you go back into the Greek culture, the more spiritual and in touch with a higher consciousness they seem to be. And he sort of makes the point that the Greeks kind of lose it around the time of Plato, and they get very material, and of course then it's not too long after that that the Greek society collapses. And he points out that there is a very ancient wisdom there that was lost. And if we can bring that back, the world would be a little better off today. So CPAC this year will be like other years in that we're exploring this whole idea of this great year, the cycle, how it works, what drives it, what structures were the ancients building, how much knowledge did they have, why was it lost, and you know what parts of it are we getting back again. And we believe that modern science can shed light on ancient cultures, and also that ancient wisdoms can help us in our modern culture. And that's the whole purpose of CPAC.
Yes, and it is a fascinating conference. I love it. This is our fourth year putting the conference on, and we're really excited to be having it down in San Diego. If you want information on the conference, you can visit our website, binaryresearchinstitute.org. Just click on the link for CPAC. We'll be having registration will be available beginning in early March, and we'll also be announcing some special deals we have with local hotels for if you wish to stay down there, and other information about the schedule, and we should be having the final list of presenters up soon as well.
Yeah, it's a beautiful community, UCSD right there on the edge of La Jolla on the ocean, and it make a nice environment to get together and talk about ancient wisdom. So that's about it for today's show. We welcome all of you to write us if you get the chance. Just write me at walter@thegreatyear.com.
We just have one more break, and we'll be back for our little minute wrap up segment.
Super. Okay, you're listening to Cosmic Influence.
Lost.
Lost Star of Myth and Time by Walter Cruttenden is the hot new bestseller, stirring controversy with a new view of ancient history. Graham Hancock calls the evidence in this epic book the key to the mystery of the ages. Where is present-day civilization headed? What did the ancients know about the cosmos? Do stellar influences affect consciousness and the rise and fall of civilization? Lost Star of Myth and Time answers these questions and more. Lost Star of Myth and Time at a bookstore near you.
If you are interested in the topics discussed on today's show, you'll want to see Walter Cruttenden's award-winning film, The Great Year, narrated by James Earl Jones. Why do civilizations fall and rise again? What did the ancients say about the cycle of the ages? The Great Year explores the possibility that the rise and fall of human culture might be related to our sun's motion around a companion star. Find out more about the celestial mechanics that bring higher ages of enlightenment and learn where we are today in this grand cycle of time. It's a message of hope and inspiration and answers many questions about the greatest enigmas of human history. Order the DVD today at thegreatyear.com. That's www.thegreatyear.com. www.thegreatyear.com.
What does HealthyLife.net and Amazon.com have in common? Well, they're both available on the internet. They both give great value. But most important, most of our positive program hosts and guests are accomplished authors, and their books are available from, you got it, Amazon.com. Now, it even gets better than that, because when you're listening on air to a HealthyLife.net host or guest, you can go directly to Amazon.com, and you can order your book while you're still listening to your favorite HealthyLife.net program. So when you hear an author you like, go to the homepage of HealthyLife.net and click on Amazon.com.
Welcome back to Cosmic Influence. I'm Walter Cruttenden and Jeff Pitino. We thank you for listening today and hope to meet many of you at the upcoming CPAC, Conference on Possession and Ancient Knowledge. We invite you again to send us your emails, tell us what you think of this work, or if you've read Lost Star or seen our film The Great Year. We'd love to hear your feedback.
Yeah, we would love to hear from you. You can write us at our email address, which is connect@binaryresearchinstitute.org. I know it's kind of long, but once again, that's connect@binaryresearchinstitute.org. We'd love to hear your thoughts on our research and the show. And also check out the new website. Let us know what you think, www.binaryresearchinstitute.org.
And tell us about your own research into these fields, and let's collaborate together. Hopefully, working as a team here, we can really bring back the ancient wisdom of the higher ages. Thank you again for listening to Cosmic Influence.